Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but they probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on tonight, buddy?
Not much. Just another great day in paradise, another, you know, work day, another great workout in, and another, another great show with you. And, you know, I just want to let listeners know, and I talk about it a lot, and I'm sure, you know, people are probably tired of hearing about it, but I want to give them the why. I talk about my fitness journey a lot on my Facebook, my Twitter, and whatnot on the show. I just want to let listeners quickly know why. The why is because I know what it feels like, you know, to feel miserable and be overweight. And, you know, I once weighed 381 pounds. I know what it feels like. I know how hard it is to get healthy. I'm now at my lowest body weight probably since middle school. I'm about 260 pounds now, so about 120 pounds less than my heaviest weight. And I feel better than I've ever felt before. I feel great. I feel, you know, more energy than I could think of, that I've ever had before. I'm in the best shape of my life, and I just feel both mentally and physically very strong. And that's what losing weight and getting healthy can do. Like, when you're extremely overweight like I was, you don't just suffer physically. You suffer mentally. Your self-esteem, your confidence can be shot. At least it was for me. And that's why I do it, because I want to help people that are in similar situations to me who are extremely overweight and didn't really know what to do. I got some answers. I got some solutions for you. Things that have worked for me, things that I know will work for you. And I want to just talk to you about them. And all you got to do is talk to me. If you don't want to do it, you don't want to take advantage of the proven system that works, that is put out by Beachbody, nutrition plus program plus support equals success. If you would rather not do that, I'm not going to, you know, hold it against you and criticize you for it. You got to do what works for you. But I want to help you find what works for you. So all you got to do is just talk to me, CoachEvan66@gmail.com, CoachEvan66@gmail.com. All you got to do is talk to me. Conversations are free. I'll talk to you more about the different weight loss plans, eating plans, workouts, super healthy nutritional shake that Beachbody has that is going to help you get long-lasting proven results. So CoachEvan66@gmail.com, and let's talk. And, you know, with that said, Joe, I'm going to throw it back to you. How are things doing out in Western PA?
Things are great out here. It's hockey night, and I know, Evan, that – you know, when it comes to the hockey, you're not going to plaster down in front of the TV and watch hockey. But I'm a huge hockey fan, and it's Penguins versus the Capitals tonight, and you couldn't ask for a better opener. Overtime right now, 3-on-3 hockey. All the storylines with the Penguins after winning the Stanley Cup, and Matt Murray and Andre Fleury in the goal. Just a great game tonight.
And Crosby with the concussion.
Yeah. I talked a little bit about that, but it's what a night. I mean, it's a great game. I've been watching this game, and a lot of fast-paced action. And I like the hockey overtime with the 3-on-3. I mean, it's pretty wide open, and Fleury's coming up with some huge saves. Offensively, the Penguins haven't mounted much, but it's been an exciting overtime with about 30 seconds to go. But we're not talking hockey tonight. We're talking Green Bay, pretty big early season game. The Cowboys are atop the NFC East. The Packers are chasing the Minnesota Vikings. So not only standing-wise is it a big game, but you have to fast forward. And I know it's a long season. You can't guarantee that both these teams are even going to make the playoffs. But if you fast forward, 12 weeks, and if these teams are battling for playoff spots, it could be for just a wild card, could be for home field advantage. The winner of this game, Evan, has a hand up because they'll have the head-to-head tiebreaker. So this really is, in the realm of things, you always look back in a season and say, woulda, coulda, shoulda, won game. This could be that woulda, shoulda, coulda, won game. This is an important game for both teams because the way we're looking a quarter of the way into the season, that both these teams can prime themselves for the postseason. So now you're looking at, you know, like I said, home field advantage, getting into the playoffs. This is a huge game, and it's going to be a good one, Evan. Now I'm going to turn it right back over to you. A lot of things inside this game that we really got to talk about.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to talk about. And, you know, this game is very interesting. You know, you got the best offensive line in football in Dallas, the top running back statistically right now in football is Ezekiel Elliott versus the number one ranked rushing defense in the NFL, in the Packers, and also one of the top front sevens in all the NFL. The Packers front seven, Troy, is playing extraordinary well football. You have Nick Perry, who's finally healthy, spent an entire offseason actually being able to practice and work out with the team, which has really helped him, I think, dominate the way he is this year. You got Clay Matthews, who, you know, he returned the lineup last week after missing a week due to injury, looking like Clay Matthews, except he was nowhere to be found in the fourth quarter of last week, so that's kind of concerning. But that's where the big storyline is. The top running game in the NFL versus the top team against the run in the NFL. And injuries are going to play a factor on both teams. The Packers' injury reports looking very interesting at the moment. Banjo, Cobb, Jared Cook, Eddie Lacy, T.J. Lang, Demarius Randall, Sam Shields, James Starks, J.C. Treader, all listed on the injury report today. Treader, Randall, Lang, Lacy, and Randall Cobb are all limited participants. Banjo, Cook, Shields, and Starks did not practice. And Starks, his status on Sunday is up in the air even more than Lacy, as he had a death in the family, so he won't be doing anything with the team for right now, and his status on Sunday is up in the air. So a lot of storylines in this game. As I said, the biggest one, the Packers front seven versus the Cowboys offensive line. And here's what's probably going to happen, Trust. And this is what's going to drive me nuts. So what's probably going to happen, the Cowboys are likely going to have some success on the ground because the Packers aren't going to – Packers are likely not going to go 16, 17 weeks by only allowing 40 rushing yards per game, especially when you're playing a team like the Cowboys. It's just not going to happen. So the Packers are probably going to give up a little bit on the ground. And my prediction, Troy, is the first big run that Ezekiel Elliott has, Packer fans on Twitter will blow up asking for Dom Capers' head, saying Dom Capers needs to be fired. Fire Capers, get rid of them. Probably what's going to end up happening because that just seems to be how it happens. But this is a game that's going to be run in the trenches on the both sides, on both of the Packers' offense and defense and the Cowboys' offense and defense. Whoever can control the line of scrimmage, that's who's going to win. Because if the Cowboys get their running game going, Troy, we know that that's going to help Dak Prescott really play much better as he doesn't have to get everything put on his shoulder because Elliott's running the ball effectively, and it's going to help the Cowboys defense because the Cowboys defense won't be on the field as much, and Aaron Rodgers won't be on the field as much either. And if the Packers are able to sustain their running game and control the trenches, then obviously the Cowboys offense doesn't get to go on the field as often as they could, and the Cowboys defense isn't very good. They're just not. Statistically, You know, they're 16th in yards allowed, 19th in passing yards, and 11th in rushing yards. They're not that great defensively. They can be picked apart. But in regards to that, it depends on which Aaron Rodgers shows up. That's ultimately what's going to matter with the passing game. So a lot of big storylines, Troy, in this game, a lot of things to look at. And this is a game I'm very, very interested in, very excited in. This is the Packers, I think, are going in and I know they lost to the Vikings, so people are probably going to freak out when they say this. I think this is going to be the first big real test that the Packers, from a defense's perspective, the Packers have all year. It's a Cowboys offense is multidimensional with Williams, a wide receiver, Jason Witten, the tight end, and the aforementioned Elliott that I've harped on quite a bit during this little conversation I'm having right now. So, just a lot of storylines, Charlie. What are your, when you look at this, what is the top storyline to you?
Well, it's got to be the Cowboys' number one rushing attack against the Packers' number one rush defense. But like you said, you look at what the Packers have done in making teams one dimensional. I know that they had to face Eli Manning. But they really haven't had to face a quarterback like Dak Prescott. And so they can put some pressure on quarterbacks. And Eli Manning, at times, Evan, is like a statue. Eli Manning's not going to take off with his legs. We talk about the gap control on defense for a run. They're going to have to do it with Dak Prescott, too. Do you want him to step up in the pocket? And if you're not careful, he can then take off out of the pocket. So it's going to be – my big storyline, though, right here is how well can the Packers contain Ezekiel Elliott? Now, this guy is every bit as advertised as he was coming out of college. He's having a phenomenal start to the season. I was reading something quickly on Twitter about breaking the rookie rushing record set by Dickerson that I believe is like 1,800 yards. That's a long way to go, but the way that Elliott's been running the ball the last couple of games, it very well could happen. I don't see the Packers holding Elliott to like 40 yards. I think that the Cowboys are going to try to establish the run. They have some injuries on the wideouts. Prescott is still a rookie, and it's funny what you said, Evan, that the minute something goes wrong with this defense, it'll be time to fire Dom Capers. And, you know, I'll just start laughing. But Dom Capers usually does good against rookie quarterbacks. And hopefully the personnel for Green Bay can mix it up a little bit. And when you're changing up looks, there's one guy on that defensive unit, Evan, that can really cause some havoc against Dak Prescott, and that's Clay Matthews. I would imagine that you're going to see Clay Matthews, Evan, and I might try to count on Sunday, lined up in multiple formations and multiple positions throughout the day. Because you know that that's the primary focus. And I'm not saying you use Clay Matthews as a decoy. He's never a decoy. But the thing is, they're going to try to find out where Clay Matthews is. And if you line them up on the left, then they're probably going to pull protection to Prescott's right. If he lines up in the middle, they might change a run play. They might audible out into a mistake for Dak Prescott. You put him on the right, then he might flush the protection to his left. My point here is that other guys on this defense are going to have to step up. Because I really think the Cowboys are going to find out where Clay Matthews is because he can wreak havoc on Dak Prescott. And I think that is what the Cowboys are going to try to do. Locate Clay Matthews, do whatever they're going to. And I think the biggest mistake that will be made is if they line up Clay Matthews in the same position every time. He's proven that he can line up anywhere. And I think this is the game where you need to see him line up in multiple positions and just move around in that front seven. And if they do that, I think you can confuse Dak Prescott. See what the rookie has. I mean, he's off to a great start. Can't take anything away from that. And then offensively, I want to touch on something real quick, Evan. And I put it in the preview. If you're one that just sits and looks at statistics and looks at numbers, you're going to look at it and say, wow, this Cowboys defense is pretty good. This is pretty good defense. That's hogwash, Evan. That is hogwash. You have a game against the Bears and a game against the 49ers. You should win those games. You should limit them offensively. This Cowboy defense, to me, is nothing more than an average defense. And like you said, if Aaron Rodgers and that offensive line play like they did against the Giants, they're going to have multiple opportunities to put points on the board. And you could see some points scored. You know, like I said, the Cowboys offense, it's going to predicate on that running game. But you had went over the injury list for the Cowboys before the show started, and they've got some injuries, people that are limited. Now, it doesn't mean that they're not all going to sit on the bench, but even little nicks and dings can cause a problem within an offensive system. So that's all I got there.
Yeah, see, when I went over the injury report, to me, I think for the Packers and Cowboys, I think the biggest injury that stands out is Tyrone Smith, the left tackle for the Cowboys, probably a top five left tackle in football. He didn't practice. I believe he missed last week, too. That's going to be key because the Packers are pretty good off the edge when it comes to getting after the quarterback with Clay Matthews and Nick Perry and Jaron Elliott, Nick Frackle. Frackle. You know, they're very good off the edge. Kyle Frackle, I don't know why I called him Nick. But anyways, they're very good off the edge. Julius Peppers, Dayton Jones, and they get Mike Pinnell back too to help with the running game. And we didn't even mention that already. Yeah, Pinnell's back from his suspension. They cut Callahan today, likely to make room for Pinnell. So, you know, offensively for the Packers, this game's going to come down to which Aaron Rodgers shows up. Minnesota, he was bad. He was horrible. He was awful. He was atrocious. Against Detroit, he was pretty good in pieces of the game. And then against the Giants, again, he was pretty good in small pieces of the game. But they need Aaron Rodgers to be Aaron Rodgers. They really do. And the more I watch Troy Aaron Rodgers this year, the more and more he's reminding me, and I'm sure Packer fans are going to jump down my throat for this, but he's reminding me more and more of the Mike Sherman era Brett Favre, the guy that just didn't seem to give a crap. You know, you watch Rodgers' mechanics, they're piss poor, inconsistent. His touchdown pass to Devontae Adams, perfect mechanics, perfect feet, perfect arm placement, perfect ball placement, bam, touchdown. His touchdown pass to Jordy Nelson, same thing, you know. But then he had that pass with Nelson open across the middle. He's like jumping off his back foot throwing the ball, and guess what? And he overthrows Nelson. And then the other one, he threw double coverage across the middle. These are things that Favre did when Mike Sherman was the coach of the Packers, and that's what I'm seeing a lot of in Rodgers right now. It's like he doesn't really care. And you listen to his press conferences, especially today, you know, he's talking about how, you know, guys both in and out of the building like to, you know, not like to complicate things on offense. Well, who's he talking about when he's talking about things inside the building like to complicate things? Is he talking about McCarthy and the team plan? And then he's talking about getting the completion percentage up. First thing he does is take a shot at the receivers, saying that they got to catch the ball, that he's got to, he's got to throw the ball better. And then he goes after the receivers again, and they got to catch the 50-50 balls. You know, I just question what kind of teammate he is right now, and what Rodgers is going to show up on Sunday, because that's what's going to determine if the Packers win or not. Because the thing is, Eddie Lacy, not 100%. He's likely going to play, but he's not going to be 100% with that ankle. And if James Starks can't go with both a knee injury and a depth of the family, Packers don't have a number two running back at all on this roster. They got none. They got Rutkowski, and they got Ty Montgomery, and unlikely going to use Randall Cobb in that role. So my guess is Ty Montgomery is probably the number three running back on Sunday truck. So look for the Packers to throw the ball a lot, and probably look if Lacy's able to. wear out the Cowboys defense in the second half. But, you know, this is a game that I do have my concerns. I am, you know, worried about a few aspects of this game. But ultimately, like I said, it's going to come down to Rodgers. Will the real Aaron Rodgers please stand up?
Well, calling out Mr. Rodgers, and I think it's warranted. But I want to touch on offensively, Eddie Lacy's ankle. For a running back, Evan, ankles are key. I mean, you think of as many times that Eddie Lacy has to cut back, as powerful as Eddie Lacy runs. I know he's a tough guy, and I know it's a sprain, and people may say, well, it's not severe, he's going to be able to play. Well, that's fine, but you brought up, can he wear down the Cowboys' defense in the second half? Evan, my concern is, can he make it to the second half? You know, you start putting pressure on that ankle and you make one tweak on it and you're done. You're out. You're out of the game. And so that's my concern. So the positive thing is, if Eddie Lacy can make it through the whole game without having to come out, the Packers stand a really good chance. The only way to do that, Evan, is for the Packers to move the ball, short passing, take what the Cowboys defense gives them. I want to see a Packer offense like I saw in the opening drive against the Giants. A very methodical offense. We've talked about it many times. I know fans love the splash plays. They love the big plays. They love when Aaron Rodgers gets time, Evan, and chucks it downfield and Jordy Nelson makes a spectacular catch. How often does that really happen? Come on now. That's what you're going to live on, you need to kind of go back to football 101. You have to move the chains. And that drive, I don't remember the number of plays, Evan. I think it was like 17 plays, something like that, against the Giants in that opening drive. I don't have the stats in front of me. But 17 plays, Evan, took up almost half the first quarter. You want your run defense to sit there at 50 yards a game? That's how you do it. Now, I don't expect you to put together four 17-play drives. Now, if you did, that would be remarkable. That would just be remarkable, Evan. If you could put together four 17-play drives and score touchdowns, you're not going to lose a game. I mean, you could, but it would be very hard if you put together that many. If you could have one 17-play drive like the Packers did and kind of force the tempo of the game that way, that's what they've got to do against this Cowboys defense. And the funny part, Evan, the Cowboys defense is liable to let that happen. But the Packers have to take advantage of it. And that's my concern. It's been our concern, and I'll say our concern. For maybe, I'll count this as a half year already, and then I'll count last year, and then I'll count part of the year before. This is like a two-year thing with us, Evan. We have not seen consistency from this offense probably in 2 years. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. Now, there's times in those 2 years where there's been some consistency, but we have not seen a consistent offense week in, week out, play in, play out. It is every week we're wondering what's going to happen on offense. And that's why I said you called out Mr. Rodgers, and I think it's warranted, because with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, you and I shouldn't have to sit here every week and wonder what's going to happen on offense. We should be sitting here saying, look, the Packers have Nelson, Cobb is going to be limited. Hey, that guy got a ferocious hit, but hey, Davante Adams will step up. Hey, Richard Rodgers will step up. Hey, Lacy is hurt. That's a concern. The running game, the offensive line is playing well. We shouldn't have to worry about this offense. That is concerning to me, Evan. And I'll flip back. Everyone knows I live in Western PA. The Steelers right now, that's how you're talking about the Steelers offense. Hey, Antonio Brown, if they double him, they've got this kid named Sammy Coates, even though he's got a hand injury. But they got Le'Veon Bell, and then they got D'Angelo Williams. And the I hope people are understanding what I'm saying, is that Evan and I sit here every week and we talk about how inconsistent this offense is, and Evan, it shouldn't be that way.
No, it definitely shouldn't be that way. You look at the Packers roster on offense, they got an offensive line that's performing very, very well. They got Jordy Nelson, who pre-knee injury is one of the top big play wide receivers in football, and it looks like he's finally back to his, you know, his old self before the knee injury. Randall Cobb had a huge game, a week ago against the Giants, and Adams had a pretty good game against the Giants too. But they're very inconsistent. They drop passes in convenient times. Rodgers is inaccurate with the football, and completion percentage is dropping like if you drop the bowling ball out of the top of a building, coming down at a very high rate of speed. And he needs to get his completion percentage up. He starts drop, just blatantly dropped one screen pass. But then the other one, I think two others, Rodgers missed. He's struggling to throw the simple throw in the flat. And the offense needs to get it together. And I think eventually they will. I do have faith in the offense, but it all starts with what's going on in number 12's head. And the next thing we didn't talk about yet is going to be special teams. Special teams is going to be huge on Sunday. The Packers punter is horrible. Trump is garbage. He is hot garbage. There was only five punters in football last year worse than Tim Apsay, and he's one of them. And he's been punting horrible. And special teams could be what turns his game. And I hope it doesn't. And the Packers also struggled to stop kickoffs against the Giants. The Giants had some pretty good starting field position after kickoffs, which basically they didn't tackle well on special teams. So, you know, I look at this game. I think the Packers win, Troy. It's going to be a close one. I think it's going to come down to likely a Mason Crosby field goal to win it at the end. I think Elliott goes over 100 yards. I think Prescott throws a couple interceptions that ends up really hurting the Cowboys. And I think Mason Crosby wins it with a field goal. I think final score is probably going to be around, 31-27 or 30-27 or somewhere along those lines. That's my thought on it.
Well, I didn't mean to throw an interruption in there with what's our punter's name? I thought his name was Schmuck. He's terrible.
Schmuck. Same difference.
Yeah, Schmuck. And here's the thing. I don't do this often, maybe because I'm a Packer homer. Packers lose this game, Evan, and they lose because it's a poor punt in the fourth quarter because Mike McCarthy has got conservative again, and Schmuck hits his famous 32-yard punt, and the Cowboys get good field position. Elliot, you say he's going to get over 100 yards. I don't think he gets 100. I really have bought into this Packer run defense. I really think they'll get his runs, but I don't think he gets 100. I think he'll get 70, 80, somewhere in that range. But he'll do enough that it'll keep the Packer defense on their toes with play action. I think this comes down to a bad punt in the fourth quarter or somewhere in that second half. I don't want to just say, hey, yeah, 5 minutes to go, it's going to be a bad punt. I think at some point in this game, Mr. Schmuck is going to have a 32-yard punt, and it's going to change field position dramatically, and the Cowboys are going to take that and gain and take momentum, and I believe the Packers lose a close game. And I hate to say it. I hate to say they're going to lose at home. I think they have every opportunity. I think they have every opportunity in this game, Evan, against this Cowboy defense to actually score over 30 points. But I don't think they do it because it goes to my little rant in the middle of the show. I think they may have one or two good drives. They're going to score a couple points. And then I think, like I just mentioned, a bad punt changes field position. Special teams are so key. And I think the Cowboys offensively have enough that they're going to take advantage of that, score a touchdown, gain momentum. I think the Packers lose a close one, 23-19.
Yeah, and I hope you're wrong. I don't say that very often, Troy, but I hope you're wrong. I hope I'm I hope I'm wrong in the sense that the Packers win by a much bigger margin than 3 or 4. So, with that, I'm going to throw it back to you to let our listeners go.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed the show tonight, everyone. Evan and I will get back with you on Monday night talking about hopefully a Packers win. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm terribly wrong. I hope the Packers blow them out. My prediction is, what is what it is. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope that you can get on the show Monday night and you can laugh at me, point at me, and say, ha ha, Troy, you were wrong. You're an idiot. Good. I hope that happens. But hope you enjoyed the show tonight, everyone. Fasten your seatbelts. Put your foot on the gas. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Enjoy your night, everyone.